Today, I'm picking up where we left off. We've started early in the spring, started talking about sex, sexuality, and God. God designed it. You got it? And then we went right into being single and how to make it to the marriage altar God's way. And today, I want to pick up there and just start talking about healthy marriage and healthy family relationships. And so we're going to spend all this summer talking about family, raising children, and I believe it's really going to impact your life. So let's go there. Today specifically, I want to talk to you about security and trust, and you'll find out about that. Amen? All right, turn over in your Bible. Did I do the faith confession? Yes, all right. Turn over in your Bible to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, or just look up here on the screen. I'm going to do a little introduction and help us understand where we are. Y'all, the way the world does marriage and family is the wrong way. And they can't do it the right way because it has to be done according to God. There's no good instruction out in the world. The world's ways are upside down compared to God's ways. And so it's incumbent upon me as a pastor to show us as believers what God's way is. And God's way is always better than our way because he's a loving God who's madly in love with you. This Bible that's on your lap or on your computer or your phone, whatever it is really God's instruction manual, his handbook for living. And if you'll abide by it, your life will be so superior to the world's life. And so when I begin to teach these things about family and marriage, Shanae and I have not done it all right. We have not. We didn't know these things that I'm teaching now. And so we're learning right along with you, and we're getting it right. Our life is very, very blessed. But had we known a lot of these things then, we'd have done things a lot differently. Amen. But let's start today. I want to talk to you about we're better together. Turn over, if you haven't yet, turn to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. You remember when God was creating the universe, creating the worlds, creating everything on the planet, that after he created everything, after day one, he said, and it was good. All the way to day six, he created everything and said, it is good. And on the seventh day, he rested. But then the Bible shows us in chapter 2 that God, in chapter 2, verse 18, said one thing wasn't good. He said, it's not good that man should be alone. He said, bachelorism is not good. It's better for him to be with someone. Now, we talked about this because I know oftentimes that believers and single believers can sometimes get offended. And in fact, some people came and approached me and said, hey, pastor, you know, the approach that you're taking really kind of blows me away that you're making this like marriage is just so good and there's nothing for singles. No, single is good. The Bible says that being single is good, but it comes with challenges. And the Bible also says that marriage is good, but it comes with different challenges. But the Bible clearly lets us know that God created us as people to be with other people. And the highest form of unity, and we'll see how important that is in the marriage structure. And so God says right here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, he says, now the Lord God said, it is not good, sufficient, satisfactory, that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper, meet, suitable, adapted, and complementary for him. And this is why most people want to spend their life with another. They want to spend their life with someone else. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. And so that's what I want to look at, want to take it from the scriptures and begin to look. And I believe if you're single, if you're married, if you're widowed, if you're divorced, there's something for you to learn here. You say, pastor, I'm single, I'm happy, I don't want to be married. There's something for you to learn because we are a community of people. And whatever you can learn, you can help someone else. And I do believe, I'm certain that you will be helped as well. Amen? All right, so look over in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes says something very important here. It says, I'm reading in chapter 4, and I'm going to read verse 9 through 12, I believe. But it says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. I can attest that the success that I experience in life now as a grown man, I'm 58 years old a couple weeks ago, and I attribute the success that I experience and live in now to this woman who sits on the front row, my wife. And the Bible shares secrets about marriage that will help us bring out the best in each other. Many couples have a very difficult time in marriage, and what I want to help do in this series is help you to bring out the best in each other. I have not ever in my life met a bad person. I haven't. I've met people who don't understand life and don't understand how it works. And that was the case with me and my first wife. We tell all our secrets. And Shanae and her first wife. Good people just didn't know how this thing works. Are y'all with me? Oh, my wife is, okay. Disagree with me. You get what I'm saying? And there was a lot of things that we didn't understand. And so praise the Lord. I'll leave it right there. Look at verse 10. It says, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. Not push them down further. Marriage is supposed to pick each other up. All right? And this is where some of the problems begin, when they start fighting against each other. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Y'all can see that? Likewise, two people lying close together, come on, somebody. Joshua, pay attention to this part right here. Yeah, he's amening on that. Yes, Raquel. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. Hallelujah. We'd just stay right here all for the rest of the service, and it wouldn't bother me a bit, but let's just move on. But how can one be warm alone? I guess you have to get the electric blanket. Come on, somebody. Get a lot of covers. Come on, somebody. All right, a person standing alone, watch this, can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back. This is where where it comes from, I got your back. Marriage is supposed to be I got your back. I got your back in words and actions. I got your back. Say, I got your back. Watch this. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And of course, by the Spirit of God, that this is talking about Christ being in the center of your marriage. And that really is the key to life. That's the key even to being single. And the Bible alludes to that as well. Look over in your Bible at Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 30. You remember this principle right here. Y'all have heard this before. One can send 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight. This exponential power. Watch actually what the verse says. How can one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? Unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had surrendered them. What he's saying is not just one alone, it's one with the Lord sends 10,000. One with the Lord sends 1,000, but two with the Lord exponentially has this power of unity. One with the Lord sends 1,000, but two with the Lord send 10,000. Do you see how your life with a spouse that is for you, and you learn these keys that we're going to be sharing in this series, will cause enemies and weapons and strife and stuff to fall before your face? You will be, all right, are y'all with me? And that's where we're going with this, all right? All right, let's go in a little bit deeper. Jesus talked about this power of agreement, and he made it clear that it's talking about him being in the center. Look at Matthew chapter 18, and I'm just look at one verse, verse 19. It says, again, I tell you, if two of you on earth shall agree, harmonize together. If you're a musician, a singer, you know harmony. Harmony isn't two people or three people singing the same note. That's unison. Harmony is two or three people or four or five singing different notes, but they go together. So you can be two different people, and that's what marriage is. Two different people, probably from two different backgrounds with different minds of thinking. Have y'all figured it out yet? Men are different than women. And thank God for that. Come on, somebody. Give me a hearty amen over here, Joshua. Yes, sir. It is a good thing we're different. Come on, have y'all noticed that? I could really break it down right here, but it's a beautiful thing. When God created woman, made the upgraded version of man, God took man, and the Bible says he formed him from the dirt, but he took woman from the man. He'd already had a man and took part of the man, and it doesn't say he mixed dirt in it. We get this idea that he took some leaves and took some stuff. The Bible says from that he formed the woman. Right. So he made an upgraded version, which is why she's so beautiful and shapely and softer in the right places. And okay, I'm going to get off of that. Praise the Lord. All right? So, but the key is they're made together differently to become one that's greater than they are apart. Are y'all listening to me? God took the woman out of the man to bring them together to be more than they were initially as one. The sum is greater than the individual parts. Are y'all with me? And that's what marriage can be, or it can be hell on earth if you don't learn to do this the way that God designed it. But that's why you're here. Tell the person sitting next to you, say, that's why I'm here today. That's why I'm here. All right. Top three reasons for failed marriages. Here they are, according to the scriptures. Number one top reason for failed marriage is lack of knowledge. It's what we don't know. The Bible says it. Hosea 4:6. It's what people don't know. It really is true. You don't have a money problem. You've got a wisdom problem. It's what you don't know about how God designed it. Most people make each other their problem in marriage, and each other is not the problem, or you wouldn't have been together in the first place. Some attracted you to each other, but now your problems have become bigger in close proximity. Have y'all noticed that in life? Anybody you get real close to, come on, y'all get it. I don't have to even break that down, right? You love your mom and them until they stay all the time. And the Bible says it. The Bible says it. You love your neighbor, but don't let him come over every day. And the Bible even says it in Proverbs. Don't go over to your neighbor's house every day lest they come to hate you. It's in the Proverbs. Just read the Proverbs. It'll tell you. Are y'all with me? You love your friends and family from out of town till they say they want to stay a week or two. Say, I was thinking more like 3 days, 2 days. They got nice hotels here if you wanted to stay that long. Okay, look at Hosea. It says, my people, say my people. So God's talking about his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being a priest or a representative for me. All right? So what you're doing now is not resisting or rejecting knowledge. And that's what many people do. Pride makes you resist knowledge. And I see it with couples that come into my office. Typically I'll marry a couple. They come into my office for premarital counseling, and we sit them on the couch, and they're all hugged up next to each other. And oftentimes, within that year, they come back into my office, and they're sitting. I got a huge couch in my office, big sofa, and they're sitting on each end of it, both of them mad as the mug. And I always go, what happened between I do and now? Well, he, well, she, and they start pointing each other out, each other as being the problem. And I'm saying, y'all weren't the problem when you first sat here. Stuff is the problem. Issues are the problem. Don't make each other the problem. You're not the problem. That communication is the problem. You get it? The way we handle money may be the problem, but we're not the problem. Are y'all with me? Amen. Okay, all right. Watch this. Number two reason for failed marriages is wrong knowledge. Wrong knowledge is worse than no knowledge. If you learn something wrong and think you're doing it right, it can be deadly. Are you with me? So this is why the Bible gives us a warning over and over and over and over. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is destruction and death. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. There's so much instruction about this in the Bible. We're going to look at the King James, the old King James version, then I'm going to look at the Amplified Bible. But 1 Peter chapter 3 is all about marriage, and the first six verses are all to the wife. Gives instruction about the wife, about how to submit, and even if your husband isn't saved and born again, how to handle that. There's some great instruction there, and we'll get to that in this series, but not today. But then verse 7, look at what verse 7 says. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wife, according to what? Knowledge. Knowledge is going to be the key here. Watch this. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Vessel. It didn't say, now, some people, because they're unwilling to hear what God says, and typically because we're more discipled by the world than the word, we'll take offense at that. Well, I ain't weaker. It didn't say you were inferior. All you got to do is look on television and you see you don't want to be in an NFL football game with a bunch of men, sister. Well, some do. Another story, another day. All right, I might even, ooh, get off of that. I was, all right. But y'all see here, it says giving honor unto the wife. So it says, husband, give honor to the wife because she's physically weaker. In other words, it's saying, watch out for her physically. Make sure you take care of her. Open the door. Treat her like a queen. Take care of her. Watch out for her. Protect her. That's what he's saying. When there's time to bring in groceries, don't you make her take it in if you're there. Oh, I can't get on. Oh, thank you, baby. And that's what he's saying. Watch out for her. Take care of her. You get it? And as, look at this. Here's the most important part. Honor her as unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. He said, you're heirs together. You together are going to get the unmerited favor and the blessings that God has for you in life now, that your prayers be not hindered. Ooh, listen here. If we don't handle marriage right and do it with the right understanding and right knowledge, it doesn't only just affect us physically, it affects us spiritually. The way you handle marriage also affects your spiritual life, your prayer life, your money, your future. And listen what he's addressing here. He's telling the man, be careful how you treat her. That's going to affect your prayer life. And I've had more than a few couples sit in my office that don't get this. And oftentimes will take offense when I say, when I look to a man and say, hold on, let's talk about marriage. Well, we got a money problem. No. Let's talk about your marriage. No, Pastor, I ain't here to talk about marriage. I'm here to talk about money. I'm telling you, we need to talk about your marriage. Are y'all with me? Because it's affecting every aspect of your life. And many people want to point the problem somewhere else, and we've got to start here. Look at it in the Amplified Bible. In the same way you married men should live considerately with your wives, look at this, with an intelligent recognition of the marriage relation. You get that? Honoring the woman as physically the weaker. God isn't concerned about how you're treating her. And there's secrets that unlock benefit for you and this marriage if you'll treat her nicely. When she says something like, do these pants make me look fat? Before you open up your mouth and say something crazy, think about it. That's all I'm going to say about that right there. Honoring the woman is physically weaker, but realizing that you are joint heirs of the grace, God's unmerited favor of life. Hit the rest of it for me, if you don't mind. And of life, in order that your prayers may not be hindered and cut off. Otherwise, you cannot pray effectively. Y'all see how important it is to handle this marriage relationship with knowledge, with God's knowledge. Say amen right there. Number three reason, the top three reason, third reason, according to the scriptures, for failing marriages is simply neglect. Someone doesn't know right, and they neglect. They neglect each other, or one or the other, or one way or another. And primarily what it is they don't understand the priority of marriage. Marriage is a top priority in life. In fact, the way the Bible shows priority is this. God first, health. We have to be concerned about our health. Are y'all with me? Marriage don't matter. Family don't matter if you're dead. Job don't matter if you're dead. All right. So health, and the Bible lets us know this in Psalms 103, the hierarchy of God's covenant. He says, God who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. So health must be a part of your lifestyle. Amen. Number three, your spouse. Number four, children. And this is what blows people away, many people. Church is number four. Church Church is number four, and you can see this all throughout the scriptures. The Bible tells us not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together. Why? Because no institution outside of the church is going to tell you what I'm telling you today about marriage and family. No other institution. Any self-help books, they're not going to put priority in that order. Are y'all with me? Only the Bible shows us this order. Are y'all with me? But many believers don't get this order. They don't get this, and then work after that. Now watch, and then your friends and your hobbies and your family, all that other stuff. You with me? Now watch, that being said, life, y'all know it, it's a journey. And at certain times, there may be times or seasons that I have to lean into one area or another. For example, if you're having children, there may be a time in marriage, where you're married, where you're gonna have to lean into those children, particularly as babies. You're gonna have to rearrange this priority for a period. You know, when you got a baby that's up crying all night and all that, it's gonna take the attention of both parents, shifting the attention from each other to that child. Or if you're in a career change, it may take some priority to shift to make sure that everybody's happy in their finances or in their careers. You gotta shift. There's times and seasons. Generally, that's how it goes, the way I laid it out. But there are times and seasons in life. In other words, what I don't want you to do is, Pastor Lee and them said, I'm supposed to be number two, and you giving this baby all the attention. The baby needs attention now. Are y'all with me? And so there's times and seasons through the journey of life where you together are going to have to shift your focus at certain times. Are y'all with me? I don't have to break it all down. Career and all that kind of stuff. Careers change, and it can be very devastating. It can be devastating to a family if you don't shift your attention. You get what I'm saying? And all that kind of stuff. And so Shanae and I are here. We're always here. Pastor Bob and Enda. You have some of the greatest examples in this church. When I sit and I look at Pastor Bob and Enda and Pastor Joe and Rhonda Frazier, they are, there's just numerous people here that will help you to work through and navigate through some of the challenges that come in life, and that's what this series is all about. Amen. All right, let's move on. Now I want to start today talking about these seven foundations of a healthy marriage and family, or of a strong marriage and family, or of a successful marriage and family, all right? And there's seven things we're going to talk about. I put this graphic together. Can y'all put it up there? And I'll read this. Oh, yeah, we better read that passage first. Read this passage. Look over at Matthew chapter 7. We'll do that first. Put it on solid background for me. I'm sorry. That's my fault. Take the graphic off for just one second. I'll get right back to it. Thank you. Make some noise from back in there and back putting up with me. Now, Matthew 7, Jesus talks about foundation of life being built on a rock. It's right here in Matthew chapter 7. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, and look at this, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house, his life, his business, his children, his life on a rock, right? How? By hearing these words and then making practical application of them, applying it, right? Watch what happens. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. All right? Look at this next one. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, same rains, same streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So the Bible's telling us here the key to standing the storms of life, and they're coming. They're coming to the prepared and the unprepared. Life happens. Welcome to life. It's going to happen to all of us. And the storms come even when Jesus is on the ship. Even when Jesus is on board, the storms come. And we've got a perfect example of that in the Bible. Jesus sleep on the boat. The Bible says a torrential hurricane type storm came, and the boat was getting filled with water and was going to sink. And Jesus is asleep. So just Jesus being on your boat is not enough. You have to know how to wake him, summons him, activate his power. And that's what the disciples did. They woke Jesus up and said, "Don't you care that we perish?" He spoke to the storm, caused peace and calm, and then fussed at him. "So why are you panicking? I'm right here. Just activate your faith," is essentially what he was letting them know. But it's not enough to just have Jesus on board. But as we see here, we can build our life. Now put my graphic up for me. Make some noise for him in the back. Thank you. Thank you, Amy, for the graphic too. Look what I have here. I have these seven foundations of a successful marriage and family. Seven foundations, seven anchors, right? And from I built them most important from bottom to top. Where it starts, right here, number one, security and trust. We're going to talk about that today, all right? Security and trust is essential to build a successful marriage and family. I'll talk to you about that in a minute. Communication is number two. Communication. Now, notice at the end of each of these foundations, it's open and God is the whole house. God has to be in your security and trust. God has to be in your communication. God has to be in forgiveness and repentance. All these seven areas, God has to be in it. He has to be, and he is the house. God is the builder of the house. Are y'all with me? But these are the foundations. Forgiveness. I'm going to tell you right now, I can help everybody's marriage and their relationships with just one simple key right here. Everybody try saying this right here. I'm sorry. Watch this. Men say this. I was wrong. Okay, try it one more time. Y'all get a little bit, get more comfortable. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. That can change your life. But there's something about being married that makes us want to think we're always right. There's something that makes us want to just hold our position. And all you got to do is turn on CNN or turn on the news. Don't turn on CNN. Turn on Fox News or one of them other news. They're going to lie to you. I'm just telling you, I know. I've seen it. But watch this. Another story. You can even take that out the tape. All you got to do is look at Washington, D.C. You get a far right wing and a far left wing and real good sense somewhere in the middle, but they refuse and it just gridlock and no progress happens. Are y'all with me? And that's typically what happens in a household. One holds their position, another holds their position, and they become stubborn and refuse to meet somewhere in the middle to talk about it. And we're going to get to all that, all right? So forgiveness is vitally important. If you're married, if you're going to live in life, you're going to have to learn to repent, and you're going to have to learn to forgive. Finances, vital, vital part that can destroy marriages, but done right, you can live a very blessed life. All right, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to give you five golden rules that you and your kids need to learn about your finances. All right, just keep coming. Roles and responsibilities. These things, we've got to divide these responsibilities up, and then sometimes they'll shift as life shifts. All right, we got to talk about that. Sex and romance, praise the Lord, you know I'm going to get to that. And it won't be graphic, it won't be explicit. It'll just be stuff that all of us can hear, all right? All right, and then raising children. Good God, Jesus. If there's any test to marriage, that's it right there. Right there. If there's any test to marriage, if there's anything that could tear a husband and wife apart, is that right there. Kids change the whole dynamic of the relationship. And you love them. I love my kids. My kids are the best. I wish they all lived in my house, and I wish they'd all stay there till they got married. I want them to. Are you with me? Shanae and I were talking about it yesterday. I want them to be in my house and get there, and so I can help guide and lead them. You follow what I'm saying. I want them there. I want them to get debt-free. I want to help them. I want to help them as much as I can with instruction and guidance and all that kind of stuff. But we're going to come from the Bible, and you're going to really learn what the Bible says about raising kids and what it says about them. All right, so just stick with me. It may take more than 7 weeks because I know I got to spend at least a couple weeks on communication. We're going to make that real practical for you. Amen. So, all right. So today, let's jump into it. Y'all ready? Security and trust. Let me help y'all right here. Shanae and I, let me talk honestly. I haven't done everything right. I've made some critical mistakes early on in our marriage. Say years ago. Y'all don't say enough years. Years and years and years and years. Before there was Destiny, before there was Pastor Lee, years ago. And I didn't understand a lot of these things or value that woman like I should have. and broke our security, her security and trust in me. Can I tell you today, here we are nearly 25 years in marriage. It's been rebuilt. It was a road to get there. But I say that to tell you this, and I have to say that cautiously because people are so funny, they'll make up their own stories and say all kinds of crazy stuff. So that's as much as I'm going to say about that. But I can tell you this, our marriage is better than ever. We have made it. We've made it through the test of life. But I do want to help you to overcome those hurdles and overcome. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Make some noise for that woman on the front row right there. Amen? All right, let's get some definition here. First of all, security and trust in marriage are the result of a shared commitment and shared understanding of the marriage covenant. Did y'all get that? Take a picture of that because that's so vitally important. Security and trust, the main foundation in a marriage relationship, security and trust, they're the result of shared commitment. We have the same level of commitment and a shared understanding. We have the same understanding of what this is that we've gotten into called marriage. Shared. Not the woman's level of commitment is up here and the man's is down here. We have a shared understanding, and that's why it's so important that you get in Pastor Bob and in his class, that you get in the classes that we offer at Destiny University so you can understand how this thing works. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowing. We just haven't known how to do it right, all right? Okay, so y'all get that? So security, though. Security is, here it is, the assurance that my spouse will love and value me for a lifetime. That's what security is. It's security, that the assurance that my spouse will love and value me for a lifetime. Not just the first year, not until there's kids, not until there's trouble, but for the rest of our lives. Let me break it down for you like this. Security is a knowing and constant awareness that whatever problems we face, and you will face some, with God's help, we will overcome. Now, that's how you've got to go into it. That's the shared, that's that shared commitment and understanding that you have that, listen, whatever problems we face, we're going to overcome it. If it's a job situation, we're going to overcome this. If it's a health issue, we're going to overcome this. Whatever it is, we together with God, not us on our own, but God right there in the middle, and the Bible has a promise for every situation you'll ever face. Somebody give God a shout of praise for that. That's good news. That's good news. All right, so that's security. Trust, here's the definition for trust. Trust enables a husband and a wife to enjoy a relationship characterized by openness and transparency, with no secrets or locked rooms, passwords, accounts that are kept off limits to each other. There can be no secrets. Your phone is my phone. Whatever goes on any social media, I'm aware of it. Whatever you like, I know you like it. There can more problems happen on social media. We live in a new, what's called an information age. We live in this information age, but really what it's become is a secret age. Where secret stuff goes on in this. When it should be more information, it's more secrets. It cannot be that way in Christian households. You can't have a password or something, some app, something on your phone that I don't know about. Come on, somebody. The phone's in our house, and these are for me and my wife and my 12-year-old son. His phone is connected to ours. Every text, everything that sends out comes on our phone too. And when there's any funny business, like they'd be trying to delete stuff, you know how people are, kids are. I see it dings on my phone, you see. Okay, hey, something's going on here. Why we got to delete that? And if there's any funny business, we take the phone. It is a privilege. It is my right, and I get to exercise my parental right in this house over a minor. I get to say this is the way it's going to be, and I will execute judgment. That phone is a privilege that you no longer have a right to, and I get to take it. Are y'all with me? And so our passwords, we all have the same password on our phone. If I'm not in the room, now I don't ever answer Sinead's phone because she'd be talking business that I can't even talk about. But when if my phone is ringing in some other room, I tell anybody, grab my phone. And they know the password. Just get it. You get what I'm saying? There is nobody calling me or texting me that is a secret. You get what I'm saying? And if you got to walk out of the room with your phone, and sometimes there's business and that kind of stuff, but I should be able to say, who's that? And there shouldn't be any questions about it or any funny business. Who's that? You get what I'm saying? Come on, somebody. Amen. All right, y'all get that? No secrets, no locked password, no none of that. No secrets in life. It's complete transparency. And a lot of couples have problems with that. No, you shouldn't have got married if you want to keep secrets. All right, and so again, these are areas that we have to talk about and help understand, all right? We said that security and trust is a matter of shared commitment and shared understanding. What is shared commitment? Shared commitment equals lifetime commitment. Our shared commitment is, I'm not in this as long as it's going good. This is a lifetime commitment. Marriage is made for a lifetime. If you go into it any other way, the devil will make sure that it doesn't work out. You have to go into it with the commitment up front. This is it for life. I love that wedding yesterday. They gave these vows, and it was just beautiful. Had everybody in the place crying. Cut it out. Thanks, Raquel. Had everybody crying in the place. Even Joshua. Praise the Lord. Just broke. He was broke. As soon as you came to the steps, he was like. Turned into a big crybaby right there. And we all knew it was going to happen. He didn't think it was going to happen. But as soon as you came up down that steps, he was like. And he fought it for a minute. Then it was just. You know Raquel, she can't even stop crying. It was rivers of living water. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right? Okay, so watch this. Shared commitment. It's for a lifetime. Let me show you this in the scripture. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. And if you're not ready to make that commitment and understand that it's a lifetime and whatever, we're going to have problems, but we're going to overcome them. But this is for a lifetime. You have to get divorce off the table. You have to get it off the table. This is why I'm not for these prenuptial agreements. See, you got quiet in here? But see, that's because we've been again, discipled by the world and not by the word. What's yours is mine. If you don't want what's yours to be mine, don't marry me. Oh, hey, and again, when I teach the Bible like this, I'm teaching it in love, and people will get offended, people will leave, and people will get mad and say, well, I don't believe it that way. And you have your right to do that. But I'm just telling you, this is how God built the thing so that there has to be this commitment up front. Before everything else, if you're going to get into marriage, you're going to have to put this commitment up front on the table and make it total transparency, and let's work this. That's the only way God can do it. He can only work if you're totally committed in it. All right? Look at Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read 13 through 15. Watch this. This whole chapter, chapter 11, is a faith hall of fame chapter. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I want you to see this. Back up for that one verse for us. Notice this. He says they didn't receive. So here's what we've got to do in marriage. We've got to understand how to receive. We've got to understand how to receive the promises, embrace the promises, and confess the promises. Being assured, we're assured that these promises are true. Now we've got to learn and know how to receive them, how to embrace them, and how to confess them. I want to see this healing manifested. I want to see this breakthrough. There's a way to do it from God's word. We've just got to learn how. Come on, somebody. Amen. Go to the next one, please. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, next, and truly if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. What is this talking about? It's showing us a principle here. Remember the children of Israel? God is showing us they were trying to get to the promised land. The problem was they knew it was a promised land, but they didn't, many of them, that first generation, didn't get it. They didn't know how to receive it because they couldn't embrace it and they didn't confess it. What their problem was, they kept looking back to their old land. They kept looking back to Egypt. You remember, if you read through Exodus, you'll see it. Oh, had we not left Egypt, had we not. And what the principle is here, if you're married, stop looking back at single. You cannot say things like, I was better off single. I was better off, and start comparing whatever was back then to wherever you are going. You've got to let that go. Say, let it go. You're no longer two, but one now. You're one together, and the twain you can't separate. And that's got to be the commitment that you make up front. This is for a lifetime, whatever. Yes, we are going to face some problems. And know that going in. You're crazy if you, well, you're unlearned. No. You're unlearned if you think you're not going to face some great challenges. Life is going to test this commitment that you made. Life is going to test it. Life is going to throw some real storms, and over half of marriages, saved or unsaved, don't make it. And many try, now watch, this should be evidence that it's not necessarily a person, but the commitment to the marriage union, is that many people get married, then they get married again, then they get married again, and they keep blaming it on that other spouse. And never realize, no, it doesn't matter who I marry. It doesn't matter who you marry. If you don't get these certain things right, it can't work. Are y'all listening to me? All right? Okay, so y'all get that? You can't look back. You've got to keep looking forward and looking for resolve and solution, all right? Number three, shared understanding. We talked about shared commitment. That's equals a lifetime commitment. But shared understanding, we've got to have a shared understanding. That is that marriage is a covenant. Marriage is a covenant. It's not like, in fact, let's look in Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. Malachi 2 and verse 14. And I'm going to talk to you here in just a second. All right? Yet you say, for what reason, this is Malachi. In Malachi chapter 2, God is fussing at the children of Israel under the law. He says, he was fussing at them about they're not giving, they're not obeying him, they're not doing all these things, and look where he throws the blame. He says, yet you say, for what reason? Because he said, I'm disappointed in you, I'm angry at you. Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife by what? Covenant. God says, I'm angry with you because you're treating your wife wrong. You're treating her treacherously. The wife of your youth, who you said you'd love forever, now you're treating her wrong. He said, and I've got a problem with that because this was a covenant. And so our shared understanding is this, as a couple, that this marriage is greater than a contract. This is greater than a contract. It is a contract, but it's more than a contract. Why? Because we're no longer two, but one. We're one together. And we said it yesterday in the wedding and all the weddings I do. It's a unity, a combining of two people. In fact, the word marriage in the Greek is gamos. Gamos. And sometimes gameo. But what it means is where we get our word gem. Like a gem, like a diamond, like a ruby. And what the word literally means is fused together. And the word gem, why we call it, why it's gameo and why we get our word gem is because that's how diamonds are formed. Diamonds and rubies and jewels are formed deep down in the ground with years of heat, pressure, and time. Heat, pressure, and time. Heat, pressure, and time. What heat, pressure, and time do to two people is fuse them together. If you're not committed, what heat, pressure, and time does is cause you to go separate ways. And that's what happens with many people, and they don't get it. This heat, pressure, and time is essential and necessary to make two people one and to cause them to be a diamond, a gem that will be unbreakable. So yes, heat, pressure, and time. Troubles come, but the challenge, the key is to overcome them with God. Once you get past that, you move to another level in life. You get past trust issues. You move to another level. You get past financial troubles and fussing about that. You get beyond that. You work together. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? And you start submitting to each other, because typically you're going to get two people in a marriage. One is one type of personality and the other is another type of personality. You get one that's a real blingy personality and one that's a real laid back, kind of low key personality. And sometimes, you know, one can dominate in their opinion and say, well, this is the way we're going to do it. And if they're a spender, you can see spending go out of control. But you've got to learn how to communicate, not fuss, but each couples have to listen to each other. My greatest mistakes in life have been made at the point of not listening to a personality, my wife, that isn't as bold and aggressive as mine. Shanae has a very quiet spoken spirit. She is, and she's a wife. She's very submissive, so she's not going to buck up to me. She's not going to say, and she isn't even going to come around back when I make the wrong choice and go, I told you. She isn't that kind of girl. The Holy Spirit spoke to me in a meeting when she was talking and said, had you done this, you'd be in a different place in life had you paid attention to her. And it hit me so bad I wanted to stop the meeting and just go in my office and go in my bathroom and cry. And then, because I remembered, it's like the Lord put it all back in my mind. I'm like, oh, snap. Yes. Are y'all listening to me? And so these troubles that come in life, and they're coming. And how many of y'all have as families or couples have seen financial problems in life? Challenges. Yes, look around so that you don't think your situation is unique. How many of y'all have seen communication challenges? Sex challenges? A couple brothers like, nah. Ask your wife why your wife's hand is still up. Okay, stop. I'm just playing. How many of y'all have had kid problems if you have kids? Okay, sit down. Okay, y'all want to stand up and put your feet up and everything. Kids can challenge. I'm telling you, those problems, if you'll stick together and decide that we're not going to break up, we're not going to let this tear us apart, we're going to stay a united front, we're going to do it God's way in the long run. Marriage and life is a marathon, not a sprint run. You do it over the long haul. There is going to be some up times and some down times. There's going to be some tears and some joy. But in the long run, if you go the distance, you're going to come out on top. Your life is going to see better days, brighter days, greater days with doing it God's way. Now, initially up front, it may be painful. It's painful to break bad habits. It's painful to hear loving correction. It's painful. It hurts to hear something against you. And we'll get to that in communication. It hurts. It hurts everybody. Come on, y'all. It hurts. But you have to have these times where you have this open communication and feedback, and we'll get to that next week. I'm almost done. Hang on, let me cover this. So marriage is greater than a contract. It's a sacred oath broken only by death. Children cleave and leave. You give them away, but only death separates a marital spouse. Are you with me? That's the covenant that you have to make up front. Now, obviously, there are some exceptions when someone commits adultery, when somebody breaks the covenant, but it is not always 100% of the time. I wouldn't just say every time, just leave. Most of the time, the worst situations, unless it's murder, watched that on 48 Hours last night, no reconciling there, but other than that, typically, there can be a way to reconcile because it's going to take adjustments on both parts. Are y'all with me? Hang on, let me cover my last thing, then I'm going to pour my heart out to you. Unending loyalty. And this is where I got to tell you, and I just want to help you here because many people have gone through similar situations that my wife and I have. And here we are today, successful. We are, our marriage is stronger than ever. But during those times, years ago, y'all ain't said enough three times. Years ago. Before Destiny, before ministry, before any of this stuff. What I had to do to regain her trust was be as transparent as I possibly could about everywhere I went, everywhere, pouring out details, every bit of it's reestablishing trust, and you can't buck up against that. You can't come against that and say, well, I ain't gonna tell you, now you don't want it out yet. No. You become life, you're one now. So you, if you've broken trust, you have to reestablish that. And if you need help doing that, we've got Pastor Bob and then Pastor Joe and Rhonda. They'll help you. And of course, Shanae and I, we're here to help you. But listen, don't just throw in the towel. Shanae could have thrown in the towel on me. But today, I promise you, and I'll let her tell you in her own way sometimes, that she's glad she didn't. Because I'm a better man today because of what we went through to get where we are. Not proud of any way of our past, but I'm very proud of where we are today, and I know some of you need to feel the pain of your mistakes so that you never make them again. Never make them again. Never make them again financially. Never make them again, you know, because there can be trust lost in finances and all this type of thing. You need to feel the pain so that you'll know I'm never going back. But if you don't make an upfront commitment, many people throw in the towel. Hit the person next to you, say, we can win. Close your Bible. Close your Bible. Does this help anybody today? Now, next week, you do not want to miss, because where most people's problems are is in communication. I'm going to give you four great keys. You could go to seminars and pay thousands of dollars for what I'm going to show you next week, and probably the next 2 weeks. Probably take 2 weeks, because that's where going to be the key is. How do I communicate things that are painful, that are hurting me, without hurting them, but yet getting my heart out? I want to show you how to do that. The Bible shows us where offense comes in. It shows us all that in the parable of the sower and the seed. We're gonna understand some of those things. Are y'all glad about it? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Everybody jump up on your feet. We're getting ready to go home. We're getting ready to go. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Will y'all make some noise for this beautiful woman walking up on the stage? I love you, girl. If you're here today, wherever you are in life, wherever you are in life, and whatever mistakes you've made, you're looking at imperfect people who have made mistakes just like you. Just like you. We're no different. Wherever you are in life, whatever mistakes you've made, whatever sins you've committed, wherever you've gotten off track, listen, God's not mad at you. He has restoration for you. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, friend, can I assure you, God's not mad at you. He punished Jesus for all your sins. He punished Jesus. God is so in love with you that he punished Jesus for all of our lying, cheating, stealing, conniving, everything we've done wrong. God punished Jesus for it. Why? So that we could live in his goodness and in his grace. That's called the grace of God. And if you're here today, you haven't done anything so bad that puts you outside of God's love. God's madly in love with you. And he really does have a life that's superior in quality and quantity for you. He does. He can turn around the worst sickness, the worst marital situation, the worst situation you could ever come up with. Jesus paid the price to bring restoration to you and your household. If you're here today while the saints of God are praying, listen, you're not here by accident today. You're not here by accident. You're here because God wants to restore you. He wants to bring salvation to you. He wants to restore your marriage. He wants to restore your children. He wants to... There's nothing impossible. There's nothing impossible to him that believes. Good God. If you're here today, and you know if I'm talking to you, Holy Spirit, do your work that I can't do. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, God's in love with you. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Don't walk out of these doors today without getting Jesus as your Savior. It's so simple. Making four calls today. Number one, for salvation. You know if I'm talking to you. You're on your way to hell, but you don't have to. Simple as receiving Jesus. Number two, Second call, I'm going to make four. Second call is this, rededication. You've gotten born again, but you know it. You've walked away from Jesus. You've gone off into your own way. God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you, but he wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with you to direct your family, to direct your children, to direct you in your finances and your career. God's got a great life for you. You are not junk. God doesn't make junk. He only makes masterpieces. You are a masterpiece, and whatever's happened in life, God can rectify and fix that. God, we're living proof. Rededication. You know if I'm talking to you. When I make the call for you to move out of your seat, that call is for you. You know if I'm talking to you. Number three, you're here today and you need prayer. You're born again, you're saved, but you're facing a great challenge. Maybe it's in marriage. Maybe it's with your children. Maybe it's in your health. Maybe it's in your finances. Whatever it is, I know that God is your solution. He has an answer, and he wants to get it to you. You need to get it today. Third call is for prayer. When I count, that call is for you. Grab your belongings and move out of your seat with the rest of the people that are going to run to this altar. Call number four. How many of y'all believe today you're in a good church? You're in a church today that will help you. Let me see your hand. Yes, yes. You really are. You're in a great place today that will absolutely revolutionize your life, change your life. There's hope for you and your entire family. Are you with me? And if you want to be a part of Destiny, we have a luncheon that we do called New Members Class. It's just a lunch. And if you want to be a part of Destiny, I'm telling you, your life will change. Get locked in. Get committed. Get locked in. Be a part of this family. I want to see your life change. God does too. And if you're here today and you say, yeah, I need a home church. I need to get locked in. This call is for you, all right? Those are the four calls for salvation, rededication, for prayer, and to join the vision of this house. When I count to three, if that's any one of those calls speaks to you, don't wait, don't hesitate. When I get to three, gather your belongings. You can even bring your family and friends if you want to. We're just going to give you some information and pray for you right here for a second. Amen? Here I go. I'm counting. Saints are praying. Here I go. One. Y'all ready? Two. Here they come. They're moving already. Don't you wait. Here we go. Three. Move now. Don't wait. Come on. Make some noise. Make some noise for them, y'all. Make some noise. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on. Run down here quickly. You need Jesus. You need to rededicate. You need prayer. Make some noise for them, y'all. Oh, help me celebrate. Help me celebrate, y'all. Help me celebrate him. Come on, come on. Come on out. Yes, yes. Make some more noise. Encourage him, y'all. Yes. Yes, yeah, right here. Yes, sir. Make some noise, y'all. Make some noise. Celebrate him like heaven's celebrating. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Anybody else? Run down here. There's room for you. Check with your neighbor real quickly. Just say, hey, I'll walk with you. Just get what you need from Jesus today. Amen. If you're here today and you came down front, will y'all make some more noise for him? Just celebrate him. Bless you, young man. Bless you, sir. Bless all these young couples. God bless you, baby.
Great decision bless you. Today.
Everybody down here, look at me. Look at me right here real quickly. Listen, God is so pleased with you. And he's going to turn everything around. The key is getting locked in. Locked into this word. Are you all right? Say this word, these words, loud enough out of your mouth that you hear them with your own ears. Say this. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus died.
I believe that Jesus died.
And rose again from the dead.
And rose again from the dead.
Just for me.
Just for me.
You're my Lord.
You're my Lord.
My Savior.
You're my Savior.
My provider.
My provider.
My healer.
My healer.
My protector.
My protector.
My everything.
My everything.
Right now.
Right now.
I'm saved.
I'm saved.
Forever forgiven.
Forever forgiven.
I'm yours.
I'm yours.
Give God the biggest shout of praise you've given. Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank
I'm
you,
saved.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Woo. Right now, your sins are forever forgiven. Forever, yes. You're in right standing with God. Amen. Give God one more shout of praise. Isn't that good news?
Yes.
Forever forgiven, baby.